Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, present the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for autumn semester 2025. Today, bond prices and yields. This is an Excel-driven lecture from start to almost the finish, and so we'll be using that Excel sheet. I'll have you download it before we get started into the lecture, and you will see after a little bit of time that it is quite a bit easier to do this in Excel than it would be if you had to do these by hand. Before we do that, though, a quick look at the numbers just to see where we're doing. We had a spike in the pre-market contracts, futures contracts, on Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ. It was just like surge. And at the opening, as you can see, the Dow, for the day, the Dow is up 0.78%. Oh, no, it's not. It's up 1.29%. The S&P 500 is up more, which you would expect, 1.56%, and the NASDAQ was up a whopping 2.21%. The thing about it is, though, that was almost all pre-market. The price jumped, and then for the rest of the day, the price more or less just kind of floated from there. So there was some good news overnight, and that showed up when the bell opened, that pressure of those buy orders just shot the prices up. And then from there, no more good news, so it just kind of sat there looking stupid for the rest of the day. Now, on the other side of the world, both the Tokyo and China were looking on the grim side. You see the Nikkei started out going down, and it finally eased up and just settled about midday, as you can see right about there, a little before midday. The sell-off ended, and then it just kind of drifted from there. It was a little bit different on the Hang Seng. It actually dropped down, but then it started recovering as the trading day went further forward. Now, on the other, now into Western Europe, you can see that there was a, started out spiked, and then it sort of dropped slowly down. There was a rally at the end, and even the in London, that was in Europe, in London, kind of the same thing happened. It dropped down, it spiked, and then it started settling back down, and it made a recovery toward the end of the day. So I'm not sure what was going on with that, but on our side, it spiked at the beginning, and then just kind of that was it for it. Now, coming over here, the first thing to mention is that we are now in really super low oil price territory. The average crude per barrel has gone to $59. That's just ridiculously low. And you should see that gas prices within a couple of weeks. They're already in some places I've seen around this town below $3 a gallon. And we should, with prices this low, see them really settle down, maybe to $2.79, $2.89 a gallon around this area. But keep in mind that this is because the OPEC Plus countries are flooding the markets with oil. They're just turning on the spigots, and that is, the prices are so low that small and mid-sized oil extractors and producers, all that kind of stuff, are going out of business. And once they're out of business, then OPEC Plus is going to turn off the spigots, and the price of oil will go through the roof because there won't be all those other suppliers. So all you can do is buy your oil from your friendly OPEC Plus nation, and it will be spectacularly higher in about a year, maybe even a little sooner than that. But they'll have some excuse about why oil production had to slow down, but the consequence will be pretty dire at that time. Here's the big story. Having a look at gold, we are now well into $4,000 an ounce territory. We started this talking about $3,000 an ounce, and here we are $4,000. It's possible that by the end of this semester, before we stop looking at the numbers, you'll see gold above $5,000 an ounce. Some of the AI-enhanced models are forecasting gold at $10,000 an ounce within a couple of years. That, and asking why do you see that? It's mostly they're talking about collapse of economies and civil order and things like that. They are seeing a longer picture, the same one that the gold traders are seeing, that there is some kind of a financial apocalypse on the horizon. Not new, not current or in the near future, but it's going to get bad. And inflation is already, you can see inflation just eating away at all kinds of markets here and abroad, and it just pisses me off. The last thing I want is to hear that crap. Okay, so, but the bottom line though is gold a good investment? In a way, yes, but you got to figure that unless you are really close to the trading action, you're going to pay some pretty heavy fees to get involved. You can't just go down to your local gold dealer. They're going to charge you a premium on any buy you make. It's going to probably wipe out any profits you could make for quite a while. So this is a big player's game right now. And if you have gold, probably you want to keep it because the gold price of gold will be more tomorrow than it is today, more in a month than it is this month. It seems like it's almost like it's got a mind of its own. You can't stop it now. It's like a train wreck waiting to happen. But anyway, I will lay off.
I
see. I was wondering why the Treasury bonds were flat. Okay, that's fine. There's just sitting there. Now, the 10-year bond, that interest rate is getting closer to the crossing down into 3%, into the 3-point-something percent range. That's kind of good news. It won't last, but for now, we've got interest rates falling. That should mean that home mortgage loans are going to be a little bit cheaper, the APR, and car loans, maybe a little bit of an ease up on these ridiculous interest rates they're charging on car loans right now. We may see some good news out of that. And that would be a boost to the economy, but there are other factors that are just kind of really sour right now, some pretty heavy factors. So, but interest rates going down, good news for everyone. Well, for borrowers anyway, it's good news, not for lenders. Moving out of this, here's what I need you to do. First things first, I want you to go over here to your Canvas folder and go to your spreadsheets. Now I want you to download Bond Calculations Enhanced. Download it, don't click on the link, click on the three dots. And while you're doing that, why don't you get your attendance radar running? Saying there were 115 students already listed. Oh, wait. Hang on here. I may have done that wrong. There you go. Sorry. Do that again. Well, there we go. I was in the wrong class. Yeah. There we go. I screwed up. I just hit the what? 200. Yeah. Pardon? Oh, hang on here. Let me bring it back here. Go into spreadsheets, bond calculations enhanced. And that should be, and what you'll get is that right up there on the screen. Now, I've on the this spreadsheet, I kind of have decided I'm going to bake one more spreadsheet into this worksheet. And that extra worksheet will have to do with how you calculate dirty prices of bonds. Because what I'm going to do for now is I'm going to be using clean prices, which are the prices we actually teach for getting to the point where you've got mastery of the skill. But then there is something called a dirty price, which is what actually happens if you buy or sell bonds. There's a dirty price. That is more than the price that is quoted on the ticker symbols and all that. But I'll get to that in a little while. The first thing to do is to reacquaint you with bonds. Now, in order to do anything with a bond, you're going to need to know the coupon, the face value, and the term of the bond. You should also know whether the bond pays one coupon a year or if it divides it into two equal payments every 6 months. But that's easy to do in Excel. Let me give you a bond. FTA. Let's do 5.25% 2034. Now the face value of every bond is $1,000. You never have to worry about that. You do have to note that Excel sometimes wants everything on the 100. So you have to divide by 10 sometimes. But one way or the other. The coupon here is saying that 5.25% times 1,000 will give you a $52.50 per year bond. Coupon. Now, dividing that by two, if the payments are semi-annual, that would be $26.25 per every 6 months. The $52.50 would be every year. Now, you don't really need to worry too much about that. You just key in the coupon, and then you can tell Excel whether it's twice a year or once a year. So that doesn't matter too much. Okay. The term. Take the date of maturity, the year of maturity, minus the current year. And so this bond has a term of 9 years. Excel needs that. It wants that. And once you have all of that information, then if you know the price, you can find the yield to maturity. Now I say yield, and I usually mean yield to maturity. There's another one called yield to call, which is not hard, but okay. But if instead you know the yield, you can find the price. And I can find a better marker. There we go. Okay, so you're going to give, and here's something else. The yield is the required rate of return the market wants. Market wants at a given time. In other words, this bond that I gave you over here, it's 5.25%. That was what the market and the borrower, the company, agreed was the right interest rate when the indenture agreement was written. However, after that, the market can change its mind. If the company isn't doing so well, they might want a higher required rate of return than 5.25%. Or if the company, or if macro interest rates go down, then the investor might want a lower required rate of return. The market is just going to be thinking about that day in and day out, moving that required rate of return around, but the fixed coupon can't change. So the way the market does it is it adjusts the price of the bond, which forces the yield mathematically to change in the opposite direction. So let me explain here. Let me do one. Now the first one on the left side of that panel there, that's the easy one. It's not the realistic one, but that's the easy one. And we could do that with just a calculator, a quick calculator. But the second one is the real pain. So what I'll do first is I'll give you a required rate of return on this bond, a yield on the bond, and we'll find the price with Excel. If the yield to maturity right now is, let's say, 5.50%, find the price. Now, notice something about this. This bond cannot do anything but pay a 5.25% coupon. The investors out there buying and selling bonds are saying, that's not enough. We want 5.50%. And the bond is saying, well, I can't do anything for you. And they say, we can. Investors are going to sell this bond. They're going to get rid of this bond because it doesn't perform to their expectations. So YTM is greater than coupon. Therefore, investors will sell these bonds and drive the price below par. They'll dump them, and that will cause the price to go down. Watch. Start with this bond price on the left panel. Let's suppose we put in the coupon at 5.25%. 5. Okay, num lock. 5. Really? 5. Num lock. Are you kidding me?
Did you
read your
bar? Yeah.
5.25. What the heck? I know. What's going on here? Oh, this sucks.
What?
I don't know what to do here.
I mean,
oh, that's unprotected. Go up. So it's protected. Go up.
No, up here? Up. I'm trying to scroll up. It doesn't have any scroll up.
Download it again.
Okay, I'm going to download this sheet again with apologies for this. Let me kill it and do it again. Never seen that happen. Spreadsheets, bond price calculations enhanced, download, and we'll see what happens. Okay, I don't want to update it. I want to enable editing. Okay, 5.25, let's try. 5, okay, numlock. 5, well, there we go, 0.25. Well, that was interesting. Okay, coupon, 5.25, thank you. Okay, now we'll put the term of the bond here, it's 9 years. Now the, see this one right here, the 2? It, you can put, that would mean it pays in 2 pieces per year. If I put a 1 there, it would, you would be saying it pays the whole thing once a year. The difference is actually usually pretty small. It's small enough that it would be in the, either way, you'd be in the range of my correct answer on a quiz or an exam. But we'll leave it at the 2 because that's more realistic. Now, what happens if the yield to maturity is exactly the coupon on the bond? The bond sells at par. So when the spread between coupon and yield is 0, the bond sells at a par, sells at par. Now let's put this one in here where it was at 5.5%. The investors say, we want more than the coupon is paying us. That should cause the bond to go to a discount to par, and sure enough, it does. And notice that as the bond yield gets closer to what it, what the coupon is, let's say 3.5%. See how the bond starts to approach par? Suppose that it gets to the point where it's at 5.3%. See how it's getting closer to par? Now watch the other way. Suppose that the coupon is 5.25%, but investors are saying, you really don't need to pay us that much. We expect only 5.10%. If that's the case, then investors are going to start buying this bond because this bond is giving out candy. It's giving out more than investors want. So this should cause investors to buy the bond and push the price up. Sure enough, it's selling at a premium to par, $1,010.72. So, and if you look at it this way, suppose that they say not 5.1%, all we really need is 5%. See how it gets, it's just pulling investors to buy it, pushing the price way above par. Now, again, though, watch what happens as the price of, as the yield to maturity gets closer to the price of the bond. Go back to the 5.15%. It's selling at a premium, but it's selling at only $1,007.13. Now let's get it even closer to par, 5.22%. Look at that, see how it's getting closer to par? So in other words, the further from par, the further from the coupon the yield is, in other words, the greater the spread between coupon and yield, the further the bond's price will be from par. The greater the spread between coupon and yield, the further the bond price will be from par. Either way, this is what we call bond price dynamics. Now let me show you another one. Let me put that bond up here to 5.5, where we started. Now watch what happens to the price. And it's at a discount, but this would happen, discount or premium. Let's get the term closer to the end of the bond's life. We're at 9 years, and the bond is selling at 982.44. Let's make that 5 years. 989.20. Let's bring it to 3 years. 993.17. Let's go to 2 years. 995.33. Now 1 year out. 997.60. Do you see how as a term approaches zero, in other words, as the bond gets closer to its maturity, the closer the price will get to par. In fact, at the time that the bond matures, term is zero. It is at its day that it is paid off. It's par, which makes sense. The bond's ending today. You get $1,000 today if you have the bond. So the price in the open market is going to be $1,000 because you buy it and a few minutes later you got your $1,000 back. That is the dynamic. I gave you one for the spread and then I gave you one for the term. These dynamics are mathematical. They're not an opinion. They're not a maybe. They just happen this way because of the math of bonds. You saw me show you the price yield relationship with a very simple 1 year treasury bill. And they all behave the same way no matter how complicated they are. The other side of the equation, when you need the yield but you have the price, that's the realistic one because markets work in prices. They don't work in yields. Investors don't say, well, we require this rate of return. They say it through the price. Is it a premium to par? Is it a discount to par? All that. So the one on the left is the more realistic, and it's also the one that is a true pain in the butt to calculate by hand. But Excel just kind of excels at that, I guess you could say. Here's one. B X D 6.10% 2040. So in other words, this bond pays a coupon of $61 a year. That would be $30.50 every 6 months, realistically. The term of the bond, 15 years. Now, the one thing you have to watch out for is the price versus the quote. Right now, the price is $1,018.50. That's the price. The problem with in Excel is that for that left panel, or I'm sorry, for the right panel, Excel wants the quote, for heaven's sake. I don't know why they don't mind the price on the other side, but it has a cow if you put in a price instead of a quote. Now, the easiest way to do this, if I give you a price, is to go down here right away to the price. See that price right there? That's not really a price, that's a quote. So what I say to do is to take the actual price and just write equals $1,018.50. divided by / 10. That'll turn it into a quote. That's about the only way I can do it without getting into a macro. It's just don't forget that. Now, the truth of the matter is, I usually, if I remember to do it on a quiz or an exam, I'll give you the quote. For a problem where you're looking for the yield, I'll give you the quote. And so you don't have to do that equals the price divided by 10. So keep that in mind, that you won't really have to do this on a test. Okay, now let's go up and clean up the rest of this. Now that the term is 15 years. Let me explain. Excel in the actual formula. They want the settlement date. That's the date that you own the bond first, and the maturity date. I've made it so that if you put in the term, Excel automatically calculates the settlement date as today, and the maturity as 15 years after the settlement date. I just put that in there, so all you have to do is put in the term, and then Excel generates the pieces that it needs for this stupid formula down here at the bottom. That saves a lot of pain. And Excel knows how to do dates and knows how to know the number of days between two dates, but those formulas are a real pain. And they've never really cleaned them up in there. Now you put in the coupon. What did I say the coupon was here? 6.1%. Now redemption, that's on the 100. And redemption is just your face value, how much you get at the end of the bond's life. You always get your $1,000 back. So I've got that baked in there. Now this one is the same as on the other side. One coupon a year or two? And again, it really isn't going to matter a whole lot which one you use. So once you got that in there, there's your answer. 5.91% is the yield to maturity on this. 5.91% is yield to maturity. Now, if you look at it and you think about it, okay, this bond paid a coupon of 6.1%. The bond is selling at a premium to par. That must mean that the coupon is too high. The investors would take less. And if we look there, yeah, 5.91 is quite a bit less than 6.1. 5.91 is, yeah, a lot less. So this kind of confirms we did it right. Bond was selling at a premium to par. That must mean that the required rate of return, the yield, is below what the coupon is. Now, if you don't think too much more about it, you're in good business. Let me show you something here. What I've done so far is what's called the yield to maturity. There are quite a few bonds out there that have a call provision. In other words, the bond can be paid off early, or the investors can make the bond pay off early. This bond is callable in 2031. In other words, once it gets to be 2031, that bond can be ended by the investors, possibly, something like that. They could say, we want to be paid off. We've had enough. That's it. So, how do you deal with what is, and then you can be asked this question. What is the yield to call? It sounds complicated, but it's just kind of a joke. YTC. All you do is change the term to the first call year. You just say, okay. This bond won't live past 2031, so all we do is just change the 2031, that's 6 years. You just change it to 6 years. And there's your Uncle Bob, 5.73%. That's all you do for a yield to call. Not hard at all. As long as you stick to the sheet, you know where to push the buttons, you're in good shape. A couple of other things in here I could mention. There's a ratio that, I mean, the book shows it. It seems to be kind of popular with some bond buyers and sellers. It's got various names, and I can't remember the one the book uses, but you'll recognize it. It's sort of like calculating a dividend yield on a stock. You take the dollar dividend divided by the dollar price that you paid, and that gives you the yield, the dividend yield. This formula, this ratio, does the same thing, treating the coupon amount like a dividend. And I've heard different names for it. One of them, cash ratio. Cash ratio is one of them. And I'll show you. All you do is take the dividend, in this case it's $61 a year, and you divide it by the price. It's not a hard one to do. As a matter of fact, I could even put it in here if I think about it. But pull up the calculator. The calculator was giving me all kinds of fits in the last class. So let's see if I can do it here. $61 divided by $1,018. Thank you. 50 cents. Well, that's a decent kind of cash yield. Notice when bonds sell at a premium to par, the cash yield is lower than the coupon, as in this case. But nevertheless, it's sort of like it gives a bond trader a feel for this is like a stock. Okay, with a stock, you got a dollar amount of a dividend. With a bond, you got a dollar amount of the coupon. And in either case, you've got the price. Both stocks and bonds have prices. You see it right there. So it's nothing wildly new. Now, what is a little bit difficult is in a section like this in a textbook, I'm pouring at you all kinds of concepts of bonds, which almost none of you have seen before, and you're trying to learn everything in a very short time frame. And so I am mindful that some of what I'm saying here, it's going to take a while for it to soak in. But let me show you something about the real world of bonds. And they do this in the book. I don't know that they give you a formula in the book. And I'm going to set up a bond and show you what I'm talking about here. GVX 5.00% 2042. Now, for what I'm going to do here, what I'm doing here is clean price versus dirty price. Let me show you a timeline. Here is when the last dividend was paid. The last dividend was $25. suppose that I buy the bond at, let's say, 1, 2. I buy the bond right here. The clean price I paid is $987. That's what I pay. That's the clean price. That's the ticker that's going to read when I go to buy this bond. That's what I pay right here. At month 4, after a dividend has been paid. So here is the next dividend, and I will get that dividend of $25 because I am now the holder of record of the bond. However, the thing of it is that when I get that $25, the thing of it is that I didn't earn that whole $25. I earned only this period. The last owner had the bond for 4 of those months. The last owner is owed part of that $25 because I didn't own the bond for 4 of the months. It was accumulating this $25 payment right here. I didn't own it. The former owner did. So what happens on my invoice, for, if you want to call it that, is they're going to take some extra money from me because $25 times 4 of the 6 months belong to the seller of the bond because he or she had it for those 4 months. So I have to calculate 25 times 4 over 6, which, let's see if I can do it this time without making a mistake. 25 times 4 divided by 6. Well, I did it again. Grr. This is killing me. 25 times 4 divided by... Oh, yeah. 25 times 4 divided by 6. I owe the original owner $16.67. So the dirty price is equal to that plus $16.67. So the final price is 67, 6 and 4, 1,000, okay, and 14, 10, 11, 11. Try that again. I can't stand it. I'm just going to add it on the stupid calculator. Plus, what did I say? 1,000, no. $6,987 plus $987. $1,003.67. That's the dirty price. Because I bought it for $987. But I also have to pay the original owner for 4 of the 6 months of this coupon that I'm going to get. I'm going to get a check for $25, but 4/6 of that belongs to the original owner. Now, there's a formulaic way to do this, is you take the coupon amount times the divided by 180, and up here would be times, I'm trying to think if I can write this a simpler way. Give me just a second. Minus days to next coupon. This will make it so that you can just do a set of days. So let's try this. DCY 6.5% 20/33. You buy it for $1,009.50. With 40 days until the next coupon. That was why I was trying to make sure that formula could accommodate what I'm going to do here. It makes it a lot easier. So the coupon amount would be 6.5. Oh, wait, coupon amount. 6.5% times 1,000. But remember, we have to divide it by 2. Because that's half of a full coupon. Then times 180 minus 40 over 180 days. And that would be the dirt premium, the dirty premium. Like I said, I might just bake this in as a separate worksheet here. But in this case, we're going to have a point zero. How much was it? What was the coupon on that? For heaven's sakes, 6.5%, 0.065, 0.065. Divided by 2, that will give us, right here, let me show you. In other words, times 100, actually. Let me do that again from scratch. 0.065, is it?
Yes.
6.5. Okay, times 1,000. Divided by 2. So in other words, every 6 months, this bond spits out a $32.50 coupon. Now, we take times the 180 days in parentheses, minus 40 days, close the parentheses. That's how many days the original owner had the bond while that coupon was building. He had 140 days. So now we divide that by 180 to get the fraction. See, I just can't, it keeps skipping. 180 equals. So in other words, that bond had built up $25.28 of its value when it was still owned by the seller. He or she was the owner of record for quite a bit of that $32.50 that bond paid at 6 months. So now that $25.28 has to be added onto the price of the bond, which was $987. Is that what it was? No, it was $1,009.50. And so the dirty price of the bond is $1,034.78. Now there, the formula will make sure that you follow the steps of the form, that little formula I did there. Like I said, I will bake that into this spreadsheet as an extra worksheet calculating dirty price. This can even get me worked up and confused, especially when the calculator is skipping on me. But this is how you do a dirty price on a bond. Well, not hard, but it's also a caution that investors don't think about bonds the way they think about bonds, like they're just stocks. I buy and sell them. What they don't think about, this is one of the big things they don't think about, is that they buy a bond, they think they're going to pay the ask on the bond, bid and ask on that, they're going to pay the ask. Well, what happens is that when they have the money taken out of their account because they bought it, it's more than they saw on the ask price. And that's the reason is that the dirty premium, as we call it, the dirty premium, in this case, $25.78, the dirty premium isn't in the ticker price. The ticker bid is just the clean price. And so, you know, it can be a little bit of a shock to an investor who's not experienced with bonds that they see that they paid more than they thought they did. And they're calling their broker and bitching about it, and they have to explain, no, you see, you bought that bond after the last coupon was paid, so you owe the original holder, the one you bought it from, some of that coupon that was accumulated while he still held the bond. But like I said, this is one of those things that you have to do it a few times before you get the hang of it and understand. Until then, just use the stupid spreadsheets and the formulas until it begins to kind of make sense to you. And if there's nothing else that you want to talk about today, I am pretty much over you. That's all I have for you. I thank you.